been serious! We are going to die!
Now let's get out of here.
Right. All of us.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
How to get burned?
I like your nurse's uniform, guy.
These are OR scrubs.
Oh, are they? Well, they're totally inappropriate for the occasion.
Well, I didn't know we were going to dinner.
That's because you weren't invited.
Take it easy, Max.
You were the one that ordered him a whiskey and soda.
So what's wrong with that? I can write a hit play. Why can't I have a little drink to unwind myself? So tell me, Curly, how do you know Miss Cross?
We went to Harvard together.
Oh, that's great. I wrote a hit play and directed it. So I'm not sweating it either.
Can we get a check, please?
What do you think you're doing?
Getting the check.
No, you're not. Excuse me. I just wanted to thank you for accommodating us. You see, we only thought we were going to be three, but someone invited himself along, so I apologize.
Right, all right, sir.
Okay.
Very well.
You're being rude, Max.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to figure out why you brought this gentleman to my play and my dinner, which was invitation only. Would you like me to pass you the creamer, Doc?
Yes, please.
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? You hurt my feelings. This night was important to me.
How did I hurt your feelings?
Oh, my God!
Oh.
Hey, man, got a big box of porn for you.
Oh.
Can I come in?
Yeah. So what's in the box?
It's my personal collection of erotica.
Oh.
I want to give it to you. I think there might be a few tapes in there that just might open up Pandora's box of love.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, this is really gracious and kind and generous and everything, but I just don't want a big box of porn in my apartment.
There's some really great stuff in here. Really great, great movies in here, man. Hey, did you ever see School of Rock?
Yeah.
Well, this is, it's called School of, you know.
Oh.
It's like it.
That's nice.
But it stars Jack Blackcock.
Oh, that makes sense.
Dude, here it is. Boner Jams 03. It's a mixtape I made. All these great scenes that I was really into in the summer of 2003.
Oh.
I think you'd really dig it.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
This is Everybody Loves Raymond. That's probably not supposed to be. This is a good show. I just tape it sometimes.
Well, I don't think you understand something, Dave. I don't want this stuff, okay? Because I don't do that much.
What, masturbate?
Yeah.
Are you, dude, I've jacked it twice since I've been here. Are you kidding me? Why not?
It's not a hobby of mine.
Well, then that's the only hobby you don't have.
No, seriously. I just don't feel comfortable talking about
it. You need to. You're wound up. You're like one of these action figures, all hermetically sealed in your box. You gotta play with
it. Don't take it out! I'm sorry. You know what? It's just, it loses its value if you take it out of its packaging.
I'm just saying, let it out. Give it some air, man. Play with it.
Take your porn with you.
I'm not taking it.
Take your box of porn!
That is my gift to you.
No, I don't want it. David, it's not just...
Andy, for the last time, I don't want your giant box of pornography.
No. Come on, man. So uncool.
No, uncool? Uncool is trying to give an honest man a big box of porn, Andy.
Get off the bike. Get off the bike. Step away from the bike.
Straight ahead and on the track now. We're gonna make
Dynamite. Hey, everyone. It is Friday. I am Jay Strom here in the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Thank you very much. I'm very intense this evening. Good times. Nice for you to join us. Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot, is running late. He just landed in an airplane. All is well. All is fine. And he'll be here soon, Bill, to interrupt us. How are you doing, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian?
I'm pretty good.
Doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. Fantastical. You know, we're not just here to deliver a show on film, television, and pop culture. We also ask deep, meaningful questions like, how did it get burned, Bill?
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
Exactly.
He doesn't even let her answer.
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How did it get burned anyway, Bill?
I have no idea.
Perhaps we will answer that question before the show is over.
Maybe there will be something in the news about it.
Yeah. We're here in the Pop Culture District, everyone. And it's incredible. It's, would you say the big Hollywood blockbusters are starting to roll out? We've had Iron Man, and now Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crystal Skulls has come out, or whatever it's called.
It has come out.
And we're going to have Bill. You're going to tell us about it later, a little bit later.
Okay.
Because I do know this. Steven is like the most insane Indiana Jones fan in the world.
And, really?
Right. And I don't know. From what I've heard about it, Steven doesn't have time to read any internet sites or anything. So he never knows anything. He'll sometimes tell me some kind of like internet rumor or something that we heard like a year ago. Like he'll go, hey, I don't know if you guys, Siler's playing Spock in the new Star Trek. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, I just read that. I was like, wow, you know, he's kind of out of it. So he has no idea, you know, what the stuff is going on with Indiana Jones. So maybe we'll talk about that in a bit. But he'll be here soon, Bill, and perhaps Andy will call in to give us his 2 cents on it. That's Andy's new thing now, since the Hollywood Saloon never puts anything out anymore.
That's mean.
I'm just kidding, Andy. They had the great, what do you call that thing? The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly 2007 yeah. Part 2. It premiered after our first show on the feed.
And part 2.
So, and I'm still waiting for their kick-ass Speed Racer show, and I'm sure that'll be coming out soon. So I'm just
It should be done soon. He's been editing a good bit this week, so
yeah.
You know, we haven't been playing much 360, so I expect it soon.
He said, "Guys, I got to put the controller down. I got to do this." And you know what? It's funny about that. It's what I can talk to Andy about is how sometimes you and I talk about it, like we do so many shows in a row that we have to decompress, like, hey, Bill, I think we need to take next week off or something like that, because it almost gets where you're creatively drained.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say since Lost is winding to a close, so is Battlestar Galactica, so is Top Chef, the shows that we've been covering, Smallville's already had their finale, that we should take like a couple of weeks off of the show after next week. And that way we can decompress and stuff.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm always enthusiastic about the show. I'm really excited and gung-ho. But, you know, when my light starts to dim a little, I need somebody else to carry me through and get me excited about it. And especially like a listener. If a listener sends me a cool email or they send us a cool voicemail or something, or they talk on the forum about something cool, that's like, okay, those people, they can't wait to hear us, so we got to do another show. That really... But when we don't hear anything, I'm like, well, no one cares, so let's take a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it works, too.
It does. It really does. So if you guys don't want us to take a break, you're going to have to really just...
And then we'll take breaks anyways.
Compliment the hell out of us. Yeah. Like, man, you guys,
thanks for the compliment, but we're a little tired. Thank you. Bye.
But you know what? During the break, we have talked about doing the first ever Nowhere in Mulberry commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps we talked about the Spaced special edition where we would cover seasons 1 and 2 of Space, which is coming out in DVD in June.
Yeah. July. I'm not sure.
Yeah, what's the exact date of that?
I'm not entirely sure. Let me look.
We need to figure that out.
I think it's like June or July 27th.
How to get burned? How to get burned?
I don't know. Just what is he talking about? He's a detective, and he's a really bad detective, I think. Is that that? That's from The Wicker Man, if no one knows. The great Nicolas Cage movie directed by Neil LeBute.
July 22nd, 2008, Space the Complete Series.
Oh, great. So on our break, if we do it, we'll just stick it in a drawer and have it prepared to release. And I want to do it. I want to totally do it like the Hollywood Saloon does, where they kind of talk back and forth and they play clips and stuff. Almost like it's timeless with Spaced. Do you know?
Well, Spaced is timeless.
Right. And I wanted to. And honestly, like Andy and I have talked about this, how our episodes are weekly. Basically, after a couple weeks pass by, I don't know how listenable our show is anymore because we're talking about things that have come and gone. You know what I mean?
It becomes nostalgia.
Right. And you know what? What's funny that you say that is I can go back and listen to like episode 40. And when I'm feeling nostalgic, I listen, you know, Vanessa's on the show and we're talking about like season 2 of Lost or something. It's hilarious, you know, to hear like our ridiculous theories and stuff.
You were big on that for a while.
Right.
Loved your Lost theories.
Yeah, we used to do stupid Lost theories every week and I'd find some ridiculous theory online and we'd cover it. And then it just got where it was made you brain tired, so you didn't do it anymore. There's a lot of stuff that makes my brain tired.
Yeah, I think the one now that you're on is Lost as a Game. Is that it? I think it's a video game or something.
There's a site called lostasagame.com, and I want to have this guy on the show. I got to talk to him because season one, I had this theory that Lost was a video game, but my theory was much more simple and stupid than this guy's. This guy's is very complex. My theory was like Ethan was he was playing an MMORPG. You know how the character of Ethan would come and go on the show and you didn't know where he went? It was him logging in and out of the Lost game. That was my theory. It was really retarded. But anyway,
it's an MMO.
This guy's theory is that Lost is basically a mixture between like Myst and The Sims. Every character on Lost is actually a Sims tune, I guess you call them, and you have to manipulate them into doing things, and they all have certain jobs. Like Jack is a healer, but he's also a tracker. He's also this and that. It's just crazy theory.
When they get depressed, the sad clown hasn't shown up yet, so it can't be The Sims.
The Sims, yeah.
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
How did it get burned? Oh, what the hell's going on? What's that racket? Who is that, Fox?
Is it Steven?
Hey,
Steven, the pop culture zone. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Just flew in, and boy, are my arms.
That's I Bill's line. It. He stole your lines. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say it whenever you said he just landed, but then I was like, no, you said it before. Don't say it again.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Surprised you didn't hear crunchy tacos in the background. I was stuffing my face.
And Steven, yeah, you were in Colorado where there were tornadoes this
week,
right?
Yes, I was.
That's crazy.
20, 30 minutes away from the tornadoes.
There's usually tornadoes in Texas, but there was a tornado in.
I know. I was like, hey, I brought all this crappy weather here with me.
Did people know how to react? I swear to God, like, Bill, we live in a place where tornadoes hit, right, in Texas?
Fairly common.
Yeah. I never take shelter in tornado things. I'm like, whatever.
They made us in the hospital go to the basement, and, like, the cafeteria is in the basement, so don't think it's like some dungeon thing, you know? It's like, you know.
You had to hang out in the morgue.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I was saying. Where
the, you know, you got the bodies are all flayed open and is stuff.
That's what I was saying. Was it like the basement in Jericho where they haven't used it in years and there's dripping water and stuff?
I was like, there's no hospital in the world like that. That doesn't exist. The basements are valuable real estate. They make offices down there.
Now, Bill, I don't know. Are there tornadoes up where you live?
Oh, sure, yeah. In Ohio,
so
sure.
You do the tornado drill. I always thought that was weird in school, the tornado drills. Like, how is this going to protect me if I put my hands over my neck?
Yeah, we would all have to go out in the hallway and then put our head between our knees.
Yeah, you put your knees up against the wall or like, close to the wall,
if
whatever.
If a cinder block hits me in the spine, it doesn't matter how I'm crouched over.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was kind of like, I mean, maybe I'm a little bit, you know, I know I'm a little older. But, you know, that was that kind of the threat of the nuclear age, too, you know. It was like duck and cover.
Yeah, they used to do those where, you know.
Get under your desk.
If you see a flash, get under your desk. It's like, huh? Or get into
Or in Indiana Jones, get in a refrigerator.
Get into a ditch. Hey, Bill, no spoilers. You're supposed to talk all about Indy in the next segment, okay?
Freak. Piece of shit.
Bill! No. Sorry. It's called teasing. You can't do that. Oh. Come on. You're going to tell us in the next segment. And I want I want you to be extremely constructive, okay?
Brutally honest. Nothing else, Bill.
Steven, now we have a question for you before we get into the show.
How did he get burned?
How did he get burned, Steven?
A fire?
Now, before we get into, we don't have any voicemail, Bill. For some reason, no one gave us voicemail. I don't know why. Guess they hate us. Swiley and Izzy felt no reason to give us. You know what's funny is we'll get voicemail for a while, like Mystery Man, a couple of weeks in a row, right? Then it'll be Swiley. Then it'll be Izzy. And then it'll be like 2 months,
Eugene.
Nothing. Eugene's dead. And then all of a sudden, the cycle will start up again. But here's what I want. Okay, you don't necessarily need to send us a voicemail. It's okay. But I want to hear feedback, maybe an email form, from someone who's never sent us any email before. What do you think, Bill? Because I know people are listening, and I listen to shows. I listen to podcasts or radio shows, and I never, you know, I'm the same way. I don't go, hey, great show, guys. When really it should. It's nice to hear from somebody. So if you've listened to the
long
show for
time
a long
listener, time, first time caller.
Yeah, if you listen to the show for a long time and you've never said anything, go ahead and drop us a line, and we'll compile it, and we're going to start reading emails on the air. Because, you know, I've never really done that, have I? I'll forward it to you guys or whatever, but yeah. We don't really talk about it on the air. We need to have a segment. And another thing I wanted to start on the show. Say, for instance, Indiana Jones came out this week, or even when the Batman comes out, it would be cool if people who are regular listeners called our voicemail and left their little review.
But no spoilers, no Brock alerts.
Or if they want to, they could always record themselves and then send an MP3.
Yeah, something like that.
If they don't want to do the voicemail.
Yeah, just attach it at NIM Podcast. Mm-hmm. But what do you say? Hey, I want to hear what Bill thinks of Indiana Jones, so let's get into entertainment. What do you guys say?
Let's do it!
Alright, Bill. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls, right? Is that what it's called?
Skulls, yes.
Skulls.
Skulls, yeah. Not scrolls.
Oh, okay. And starring Shia LaBeouf. No, he's co-starring in it. No. Okay, tell us all about it. Just start from the beginning. Was it worth the wait?
No. Oh, it was a shell of an Indiana Jones movie. You can tell that. It's hard to explain. It was just incredibly disappointing for me. There's a lot of those real cutesy George Lucas touches, like, from, you know, when they did the special editions of Star Wars and added the scene where they go into Mos Eisley and you have, like, the robots hitting on each other.
Oh, and he's like,
it's filled with those moments.
Really?
I mean, literally filled with them. And it's just like this isn't an Indiana Jones movie. It lacks the grit, the soul, you know, the edge.
What rating is
that,
this?
I'm not sure.
Weren't the other ones PG?
Yeah, they had to.
Right. Oh, we've got a caller on the line. Hey, welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry, live on the feed. Who's this?
Well, I figure if you're going to talk about my son, I should be able to get in and say some words in his defense.
Wow. Should have mailed it to the Marx Brothers. How's it going, Andy from the Hollywood Saloon, everybody?
Hello, Gabe.
Yeah, cue,
applause.
Yeah, there we go. Our live audience is very excited, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Andy,
good to be here. Try to be ill.
We were just talking about Indiana Jones.
Yes, sir.
How'd it get burned?
What?
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get
all
burned?
All right, Foggy. Okay, now, Bill was just telling us that he was very disappointed by Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Temple of the Crystal Skulls. Am I right?
The Scrolls of the Temple of the Scrolls?
Yes. And now, Bill...
Yes, I've heard that. I have heard that he felt that way about this.
Well, what's weird... You know, I've read a lot of negative things recently, and I swear to God, last night, Bill told me that he said it... I think you summed it up. You said it was very... You didn't like it, I think, is the first thing you said. Because you didn't want to spoil anything for me.
No.
But I was like...
I wasn't even going to tell you I didn't like it. You know, I was like dancing around the fact that it just has no soul.
But honestly, at first I thought you were joking. Because honestly, I thought there's no way in hell that this movie can't be good. It's Indiana Jones, right? And didn't you feel that way too, Andy?
Junior.
Junior.
I just like the chance to be able to say that in any capacity. Junior.
We named the dog Indiana.
We named the dog Indiana.
And by the way, is this movie quotable at all, like those movies?
Well, I guess what? The space between spaces.
Yes. I like Ike. I think that was that was
okay,
a decent
we don't,
line.
Okay. Nobody so knows what Andy thinks of it. So, Andy, sum it up for us.
All right. Sum it up. Shit sandwich.
It's like I've said it over and over again. It's like getting a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Reese's?
And seeing, a Reese's peanut butter cup.
You got to say it with the red name. Reese's.
Okay, sorry. So you look at it and you're like, ooh, that looks good. You know, you got the wrapper and the chocolate and everything. You take off the wrapper, you bite into it, and there's no peanut butter inside of it. You know, it's got the tasty chocolate outside, but no peanut butter filling. What makes it is the peanut butter filling. It doesn't have any. The movie has no soul. It has it lacks the intensity of the past movies. It's been trivialized by this kiddiness that George Lucas is obsessed with, and it ruined the whole thing. Ruined it.
All right, Andy. Do you agree with that?
Well, here's what I have to say, and you guys know that I've been such a defender of George Lucas over the years, but really I can't defend him here because Bill's exactly right. I mean, some of the things that occur are so over-the-top silly and not even plausible in the real world that it takes you so out of the moment. And then just a cavalcade of CGI. Just CGI this to the nth degree. And it's really surprising because, you know, we had always heard these early reports that, oh, no, we're going to go back to au naturel filmmaking. We're going to do practical special effects. And
I even heard that Spielberg didn't want it to... the movie to show in digital projectors or whatever. It was film, baby.
Yeah, well, he didn't live up to that. Or, you know, George Lucas talked him out of it when they were in post-production.
Yeah, I honestly think that Lucas was in his ear and said, okay, you know what? We need to add more here. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to... And I think Spielberg actually, if anything, he felt... I would almost
obligated.
Have to say that maybe he was defeated... Like, okay, George.
Well, you know what? Let's not pin it 100% on George because, look, you know, Spielberg is complicit. He's not coming out against the film. He's not pulling in Ed Norton. He's full throttle supporting this and promoting this. So, I mean, I think what John and I have said is we can't imagine that he doesn't watch this film and say, okay, I see what's going on. I see the problems here. I can't imagine that he watches it with a completely happy heart. Because if he does, then... Something's changed in him, and he's lost some edge.
Do you guys remember the E.T. re-release where they digitally did E.T.? He okayed that, didn't he?
Yeah,
that was a disaster, man.
You remove the guns and put walkie-talkies in their hands.
But the digital E.T. was so bad, I couldn't believe that he ever okayed that.
Yeah.
Maybe
George Lucas fever. They're going and doing the redos.
Okay, I was excited about Indiana Jones is that same old kind of flavor. You know, that's when you see Indiana Jones, it's got that atmosphere. You know what I mean?
They've been replaying all of them here lately.
You know what? Here's what I have to say to people who are Indiana Jones fans. And see, I say this. I don't want to be a basher because I say this with much, you know, sorrow and regret and sadness in my heart because I love Indiana Jones. Loved him for many, many years. And So I was just excited as anyone. I would suggest that anyone who is an Indiana Jones fan to definitely see it. Make up your own decision on how you feel, because there's plenty of people who've liked it, and we've seen them on our forum. In our forums right now, you guys have seen, there's just a big battle going on between those who don't like and those who do. And so I think it's fine.
Perfect. You couldn't put any more perfect music for this review. Because
I can tell you how I feel, though, and I'm in agreement with Bill, is that it's just,
do you guys feel like this? Like, why did they even bother to make it if it was going to suck?
Well, you know what? No, it's not that. I don't even want to say that. Why did they bother to make it? Because it was gonna. It sucks. It's more of like I don't know. I don't know how I could put this other than there just seems like there's no joy in it. It seems like they're going through the motions.
Did you see potential in it?
Yes.
Okay.
There are moments of potential, but it's outweighed by the moments of sheer stupidity.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, it's like, if they had cut out the so-called crap.
Yeah, but you know what? There's not enough there to make up for it.
Okay. That's kind of
what
I was...
Do they stop going to that David Kep guy for scripts?
I don't know who to blame for the script.
It's little things like gophers and monkeys and CGI ants.
Yeah. Like, the movie opens on a shot of a gopher, a CGI prairie dog that pops out of a dirt hill that's supposed to be the Paramount logo. And then a car drives by it. And it's like, oh, you know, what the hell is that? And then that's a setup for like 20 minutes later when the same prairie dog shows up for no reason.
Well, hey, we're still going to see
like
this cutesy look.
Bill. I don't
want to
be thinking about
the
whole
thing.
Hey, stop ruining everything.
It's like Caddyshack. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, maybe Spielberg was a big fan.
I was waiting for the Kenny Loggins music to kick in.
Nice.
It was sad. Talking. After watching it, I was genuinely sad. I was trying to convince myself, like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And then I finally realized, no, it was. It was just sad.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, so here I want to ask you this. Andy loves Attack of the Clones, right, Andy?
Yes.
Bill loved Transformers. I love Spider-Man 3. Okay, how am I going to feel about the movie?
You're going to feel the same way we do, honestly.
I bet you he will be a little more forgiving than we are.
Well, he just is. That's his personality.
That's his personality. What? I think he'll be like, you guys are full shit, you know? It's a fun life.
You guys know how I am. I just kind of like, okay, movie, show me what you got kind of a thing. And if it's stupid, I'll call it out as stupid.
And you know what? What really matters, one of the things that really matters is how much you bring to this film as far as Indiana Jones. If you want it to be in the same par or even in the same structure of the original series, you're not going to get that because they throw all that out the window.
And I think, Bill, you said basically the nearest you could kind of compare it to was like Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, right?
Yeah, like what Die Hard is to Live Free or Die Hard. If you love Die Hard movies and you want it, you look at Live Free or Die Hard, compare that to the original Die Hard. How much are they alike? Right. All they have in common is the main character. That's it.
And see, with Live Free or Die Hard...
And it's outlandishly stupid. You have the fighter pilot thing and all that.
Yeah.
That's the feeling that this Indiana Jones movie gives you.
Because they feel like okay,
just these outlandish set pieces.
Yeah, they're
just dumb.
Top the other films.
Yeah.
Right. I think they have topped the other
films.
Well,
there are moments of total head-slappingly stupid action set pieces. Like,
really?
Like, why? Why would you ever do that? That is so dumb. It is such a waste of time. Why would you seriously do that? You could have just simply done the way to go, and then it would have been fine. But no, you had to add this one little extra bit that just it's like adding poop on top of your sandwich.
So basically, like the return of Indiana Jones, the character, seeing Harrison Ford in the role, And hearing the old John Williams music, seeing Karen Allen is back, all that. None of that is enough because
it's overshadowed. And you know what? Karen Allen is totally wasted. She looks like a mongoloid through the entire movie. She's got she has this permanent smile on her face, even in like what's supposed to be peril. She's smiling. Like, why are you smiling?
She's glad to be working.
She's having a good time. Hey, she's retired, Steven. All right.
She's not the same badass Marion Ravenwood that we once knew. Let's just say that.
Okay.
It doesn't come through in any way, and they really missed. There was such an opportunity with what they could have done with that.
You've been rode hard. You will be put away wet.
Is she rode hard and put away wet in there? Good Lord. Okay, so basically the movie broke your heart, right? It wasn't anything like it should have been. Which makes me really sad. I mean, I'm going to go see this and my heart's going to be sunk. But that's another thing. You guys totally lowered my expectations. Would it be so lowered that...
By basing it on the old, you're let down. But if it was a standalone movie... Still,
it's like The Mummy, or the more like The Mummy Returns.
It's more like The Mummy Returns than Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Like the scene in The Mummy Returns where that gigantic CGI army of the Scorpion King shows up.
Yes, yeah.
There's a scene exactly like that, but involving insects.
I'm still
in the
convinced
movie.
That the Mummy Returns effects weren't finished when they released the movie.
And you know what? It looks almost identical.
Really?
They might as well had a scorpion in front of the ants that said Akuma Shente.
Which means what, Bill? We don't care, right?
Exactly.
Now, Andy, the effects are good. For Industrial Light Magic did the effects. They're good, but you're sick of seeing CGI? Or, you know what I mean?
Of course. I mean, there's certain places where the effects are brilliant. I mean, there's a couple of key scenes where they're knockout outstanding, but in other places it's not that they're terrible, it's just that they don't look photorealistic, and so you're taken out of the scene,
so everything is overshadowed by the crap in the movie. It's not like you could forgive the little things.
The story is not that interesting.
There's no story,
right? And that the script is just meandering, and more than anything it's just these moments of stupidity that really take you out of it. Because I mean, if anything, the Jones films are all in the real world, and then you get a little bit of like the fantastic at the end.
Yeah,
but really,
the real world combination with the supernatural.
Right.
Whereas this is just ridiculous.
I mean, there was stuff in all the movies that would get fantastical, especially the knight in the chamber at the end of the last one.
But see, it was at the end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the rest of the movie was played straight, and then it was at the end.
That's when they played
it all the way through.
Right.
You know how in Temple of the Doom, the best thing I can really say is in Temple of Doom, when he's on the drawbridge and decides to cut it.
Right.
You know, that's a stunt that is crazy, but it's believable. In this movie, there is absolutely no stunt that is believable. It is just absolutely stupid. Like, there are moments that you just go, why?
And it felt like in the other movies they actually went to other countries. In this, is it just them on
sets.
Green screen sets or something? Or did they actually
That's
build
what it
sets?
Feels like.
Although they're in a jungle, it feels like a green screen set.
They're Pinewood Studios, or
It looked like it was made in a year or a year and a half or so. It doesn't look like some long haul. You know, when you get that much money, it just makes you wonder. It's like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it, and just because you can do it in the computer doesn't mean you should do it in the computer.
Right. I agree with that. Now, Andy, open letter to George Lucas. Tell George right now what you thought of this and how you feel about him, okay?
How I feel about him? Thank you, George, for all your years of giving to me with the Star Wars films. And even though others have crushed you and said that you raped their childhood, well, George, I was there and I defended you. I said, no, wait. George Lucas has given us all plenty of happiness. You remember Star Wars. You remember The Empire Strikes Back. Sure, there was Ewoks and Jar Jar along the way, but we got over it. We forgave you. George, as much as I do love you and named my second child after you, well,
I'm sorry,
still,
that wasn't
at this point, have to call you out and point a dirty little finger in your face and say, we don't want CGI monkeys fighting the KGB.
Huh?
We don't want
exactly.
CGI ants. And we don't want someone named Mutt taking over the fighting for our hero, Indiana Jones.
Someone named Mutt?
Thank you for the attempt and get back to our original trilogy of love, Indiana Jones. Thanks for the attempt. I give you a virtual slap across the face. We'll see you in August with the Clone Wars. Thank you.
Yeah, but he hasn't lost you as a customer, though, right?
Yeah.
Skip to the end.
Yeah, no kidding. Are you done?
I'm done.
Thanks, Andy.
Put a fork in us.
Yeah, I'm sorry that George Lucas broke your heart finally.
Well, you know, and you know, we keep saying George Lucas. Andy's right. We got to lay some blame on Steven Spielberg.
And on the screenwriter, I would think. Remember, Frank Darabont said, we've got a great script, but George rejected it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And even Frank Darabont has said that there are elements of his script in the movie, but ultimately they raped it pretty much.
Wow.
I want to read his original script. I wish somebody would leak it.
Now look, small fry, don't give me any trouble.
Okay, well, all right, Andy. We'll talk to you next time. What movie's coming out next?
What do we got next?
We got the Dark Knight movie.
Yeah.
The whole.
We got a Shyamalan movie coming.
Can't wait for that.
What's Happening? Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Everyone's already turned on that too, and it hasn't been released.
What's Happening? Hey, Ron, I feel like killing myself.
Did you guys see that? There was a who is it on Ain't It Cool News, Bill, who said Mark Wahlberg's acting sucks. Check out this clip. And in the clip, there was nothing wrong with his acting.
One of those arrogant douchebags on there.
It's like completely out of context, but everyone's already saying the new M. Night movie sucks, and I just think it's like it's time to bash him. Someone will read that and say, oh, Mark Wahlberg's acting sucks in The Happening, and they don't even watch the clip or anything. They just take it at that value.
Right.
Did you hear about that movie?
Sabotage, as usual.
Yeah, what's with that sabotaging flicks?
Oh, it's we're going to do a second Sabotage. We did an episode a while back.
Right.
And because of this latest experience with Speed Racer and an attempt to slap down Indy in the very beginning, you know, no matter how Indy turned out, these reports ahead of time are absolutely obscene that someone feels like they need to try to sabotage ahead of time. I mean, let people decide for themselves already. Good God.
Well, it just shows how petty the Hollywood system is.
Right. Oh, the knives are going to come out for Shyamalan. You just wait. They're going to come out deep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Disney and Warner Brothers are, you know, they're just, there's just something that they just don't like about them. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I think the guy is an incredible filmmaker that doesn't get his due. And people say he's arrogant, but you know what? When you're good, you should be arrogant.
I don't know about that, but
you can back it up. It's not, what did they say? It's not bragging if you can back it up.
Right,
exactly.
Right. I mean, he does come off a little full of himself, but who cares? I just want to watch his movies. You know, I don't give a crap.
You want to see a good movie.
Yeah. It's just like you could say the same thing about Mel Gibson. I still watch his films. Or I remember back in the day, Clint Eastwood, people called him a womanizer or whatever. Like, what do I care? I want to watch Bronco Billy, right?
Yeah.
And yes. Andy, no matter what you are like as a person, I'll still listen to the Hollywood Saloon.
He's a
well,
woman.
Thank God.
Yeah. Oh. I got nothing. All right, Andy. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good show. Thanks for having me. See you later.
Keep listening.
See you.
I wanted to cut him off right when he was talking again, like last week, Bill. Damn.
You have to perfect the Swiley hang-up.
The Swiley hang-up. Let's get into What's on our TiVo? Now, Steven, I don't know if you know this, but Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen are going through a horrible breakup, divorce. custody battle. It's just really nasty. Have you guys heard about all this?
So I think they've been divorced for 3 years.
But they're still going
through
everything.
Nuts.
But they're going through, she's all the nuts.
Right.
All the custody crap, yeah.
They're, like, talking about just all these weird rumors. Anyway, Denise Richards has a new reality show on E!, and she was on the Today Show where the hunky Matt Lauer asked her really difficult
questions.
Don't
give anyone a show.
Yeah, let's check this out, where she talks about her post-divorce thing with Charlie Sheen.
There was an email that we've been shown that basically says that after your divorce, after all this animosity, that you contacted his girlfriend then, now fiancé, Brooke, and said, look, I'd still like to have another child, and I would like a sperm donation for Charlie so that we have one father for these children. How do you respond to that?
Any chance that Charlie gets to say things or discredit me, he doesn't. I don't use drugs. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not promiscuous. I'm a good mom. And
so
with
is
that
the email
whole,
legitimate?
The email's not legitimate. It's a doctored email.
It's
I would never send an email to his ex-girl, or I'm sorry, to his girlfriend.
I think
and
she said
at the time
legitimate.
Of that email, I was with Richie.
Did.
If I wanted any sperm, I would have asked for Richie's. Nothing against Charlie's sperm. I have two beautiful children.
Uh-huh.
And what Charlie doesn't know at the date of that email,
that
I found out through my mother's doctor that she had 2 to 6 months to live. I wasn't looking to get pregnant, especially with my ex-husband, and I'm going through a very bitter custody and divorce.
Did she say legitimate there?
She said legitimate.
Let's analyze it.
It's not legitimate.
Legitimate. Legitimate. Hey, that's cool. She invented a word. That's really great. I really hope
so. Sent to new, breath mint.
Those kids will get back together, won't they?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I would like a sperm donation.
What?
Oh, Matt.
Well,
in his mouth.
Steven, here. Whoa! Oh! Oh my God! Jesus!
did Bill get a
very, very, very
messy
he wanted the sausage.
Oh, that was disturbing, Bill.
Sorry.
Now, okay.
Couldn't resist.
Now, to get back to I'm all thrown off, let's check out another Today Show appearance. This time, the new kids on the block. They're back together. They're in their 40s. And
40s and fantastic.
Remember when back in, what was it, the 90s, you couldn't wait for them to go away? And they're back.
They went away and...
And even Donnie Wahlberg is there, Bill.
Wow. That means something serious.
I don't understand what's
going on.
He
brings the gravitas.
Let's check it out.
New kids on the block. Let me hear you sing.
Dude, please stop. I'm like getting douche chills, major.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Wow, that literally like made me uncomfortable.
I know it's bad. What compelled these guys to do this, to get back together?
Money.
Who needed money?
But okay. In the 90s, I guess it was 15-year-olds. How old are these girls? 15 in the 90s.
It's my sister.
How old are
she? She's 27.
She's 27. 27, 30s, in that area.
Yeah, you know what? When I was a kid, they were pretty popular. I think I actually owned Hanging Tough.
All right, Bill, that's it, man.
Dude, I was like...
No. There's no excuses for that. You don't tell people that.
Hell, I liked the Bobby Brown song from Ghostbusters 2.
Jesus! You keep this to yourself, mister.
Sharing.
Oh, my
sharing
God.
Sharing here, and you're makes shooting me down.
Sharing?
I quit.
Which Bobby Brown song?
Don't you remember the one that he did for Ghostbusters 2?
Oh, I guess it's gonna
Exactly. See, you know it.
Lose control. Da-da-da-da. That song sucked ass.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've become, and I loved it.
I did like it. It's my prerogative.
See, I like that song because he said, I don't give a damn. And I was like
Everybody's
10 years old.
Talking, yeah.
I'm glad I was too old for that.
Let's move on. Steven, you have
the
CD.
Yeah, well, it's tough growing up in the 80s.
Yeah, Steven grew up in the... When, Steven?
It's the 70s.
Steven, you own some embarrassing albums, did you not? Partridge Family?
No.
Donnie and Marie?
Any of the Brady albums?
Nope.
Dude, Steven? There were Brady albums?
You know what I owned was the 45 John Sebastian Welcome Back Cotter theme song. That's my
most
embarrassing.
Mm, that's not bad.
I'm not believing you. We're going to have to go through your old vinyls, Steven.
I swear. I don't have any. My first album...
Testicles has enlarged.
First album I ever got
Steven,
was...
Steven, are you lying? Is like Pinocchio? What the hell does that even mean?
Was Kansas Point of No Return.
Did you have Sky Rockets in Flight? Or
no.
What is it? Sky Rockets?
Afternoon Delight.
Or Riding on a Beautiful Balloon?
You know, you want to know what my favorite album was? Or, I'm sorry, my first album? My first album I ever owned that I bought... was Mr. T's Be Somebody.
Oh, nice.
Now, the first album I bought and paid for was Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Nice. I think mine was Pyromania, Def Leppard. All right, guys. Ellen's Getting Married. Let's check it out.
You haven't heard the California Supreme Court overturned a ban on gay marriage. So I would like to say right now, for the first time, I am announcing I am getting married. Thank you. I'll tell you who the lucky guy is soon. And...
good times. Wait, she's a lesbian.
And I love him if he has a vagina.
Yeah, that would be weird. What do you call a man with a vagina?
A hermaphrodite?
Or a lesbian? Okay. On Flava of Love, you guys, Flava picked out who his rock of love. Let's check it out.
That heart that's in my chest that be jumping.
Huh?
As much as
the
I love you,
the heart in his chest that be jumping.
Thing too.
Don't you know he got that from A Midsummer Night's Dream?
He picked Thing too.
This is more than what I ever imagined.
It's
the
clobbering time.
The ball of emotion.
Nice.
I got my man. We're coming back for a season 4. It's a wrap.
Thing too. She makes me complete. She makes me laugh. She's got my love, my care, my concern. She's got my back. I ain't mad at that. I ain't mad at that. Out of 60 girls, I think I found
60?
A real true love right here.
Is that many the contestants right they had this thing. Season?
I think that's over the complete
my.
Seasons.
She wipes my butt.
What does that mean?
I thought he was in love with the, what's her name, Brigitte Nielsen.
He was looking for love, Steven.
In all the wrong places.
I ain't mad at that. I ain't mad at that.
What does that mean, I ain't mad at that? I ain't mad at that.
Amen. Maybe he's not mad.
Well, guys, this week on The Real World, there was no drunken fights or anything like that, but there was a guy stealing panties in the house. Let's check it
awesome.
Out.
Awesome.
Panty thief, I guess you would call it.
People are
sniffle?
Stealing my stuff. Somebody went into my underwear drawer and took them all. I'm just, like, absolutely disgusted that anybody would do that.
Greg, what is your problem?
So are you basically accusing me?
I'm asking you. Do you know who put them there?
Well, next time, because I'm not going to talk to you right now. Next time, I ask you for your cues. If you think that I went to your underwear drawer.
I took her panties, all right?
Oh, my God.
I did it because Sarah aggravates me, okay? And that's just the way to get straight at Sarah. So I did it.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Well, you know, that's something he probably
it
shouldn't have admitted on TV, should he?
There's thousands of cameras there. Something probably caught him stealing it.
Yeah. Now, on Tila Tequila last week...
Just
remember,
thank God they didn't get him out of the hamper.
Do you guys remember on Tila Tequila last week where the guy headbutt the other guy?
Right.
Well, that's how the show ended. This week, comes back, finished a headbutt, and the rest of the fight happens. Let's check it out.
Just wait.
Oh my god. What's going on?
Don't get in my face. You're not talking.
I don't have visual. What's going on, Steve?
He hit him hard. He and Chad popped him right in his freaking jaw bad, and he just...
Damn, girl.
Chad.
Come on, Chad. You're out of here. Security's escorting you out right now.
You better call me, dude.
Let's go.
We're brothers for life, baby. F*** them all.
Huh?
His chin is just dripping blood, and his gum on the bottom is split in half. Like, that is messed up.
You have so much blood in that mouth. Sick.
This is our guy right here.
It's a pretty serious deal. Like, it's not like it's a black eye. It's split teeth and blood and stitches and hospital.
Wow. She's very descriptive. Good for her.
And concussions and Band-Aids.
And the guy who did that, he had one of those...
And boom goes a dynamite.
He had one of those arm tattoos of, like, the spikes or whatever, you know, of, like...
Nice, the barbed wire.
Yeah, the barbed wire, like the dude in Tekken has. So, yeah, he's real badass.
You know what that means.
What does that mean?
He's gay.
That's right. It does mean that. He's a homo. Right, Steven?
Yes.
It's a wrap.
It's
I've finally seen what this tequila looks like.
What do you think?
Oh, she's a skank.
Did you hit that, Steven?
No.
Steven, come
on. Her boob job's so bad. It's like she has rectangle boobs.
She's on Blender magazine this month. I saw it in the airport, and I was like, is this
that's Tila Tequila.
Yeah, exactly. Is this what all the fuss is about?
I can't hear you.
Yeah, I wish I couldn't hear you.
Now, Dancing with the Stars ended this week, Bill. And there was a winner. And since I don't care who the winner is, here is the abridged version of what happened. Let's check it out.
Dancing stars are Christy and Mafio.
Size cake from the bottom of my heart, fans out there. Everyone in Dancing with the Stars from the hair, makeup, ream experience.
Yay! All right.
I'd watch it if it was like that.
Also, American Idol, a guy named David won. Okay, The Bachelorette.
The guy named David.
The Bachelor just ended, guys. Bachelorette is now, or it's like a chick. She wants to pick her rock of love, and it's a bunch of guys. Well,
she's very unattractive also. I don't see the
appeal.
She seems really uncomfortable, too, because they do, like, these dates where each guy gets to spend time with her. This guy's got a whole shtick involved. He's going to jump in the pool with his clothes on, take off all of his clothes, reveal that he has her name on his ass. And she, listen to her voice. She is so uncomfortable during all of this. Listen to it.
There's a great pool. Why isn't anybody swimming in there yet?
If you get in that pool tonight,
I get a
you
rope?
Can probably
I get
catch
that last
pneumonia.
I'll get that last first impression roll.
I'll be worried about sending you to the hospital.
Right.
No, don't you dare get in that pool.
I want
don't.
That last
it's
rope.
It's probably so cold. You're going to hurt yourself.
I want that last
I'm
rope.
Serious. You probably shouldn't do that.
In the pool.
No, he did not.
Oh my god.
So do I get that last roll?
Can we get a towel?
Oh my god.
It's freezing.
Oh, I actually have my swim trunks on.
Oh, okay.
I got to go over my serious side with you.
Okay.
I really wanted to let you know my fun side.
Take it off, baby.
Yeah.
Huh? Look at this guy.
Oh my god.
I thought the guys were looking for a woman.
Oh,
you sure this is tequila
for you?
Good lord, my name is on the back of this boy's booty.
Yeah, the sausage.
is she hanging out with Tyra?
I guess so. What is a guy saying take it off for to another guy?
Take it off, baby.
Woo!
Baby.
I can't hear you.
Yeah. he's definitely... hey, whatever, you know,
he has a barbed wire tattoo on his arm.
To each their own.
I would like a sperm donation.
Okay, whatever. Okay, the Hell's Kitchen is fantastic. Bill, Hell's Kitchen was fantastic. And let's see. Oh, remember how last week it ended where Chef Ramsay says one of the women will go to the guys' team. So let's listen to how... That chick Corey tried to talk Jen into going to the other side. And basically she's like, you know, it would be really beneficial to you because you would be taking a chance, but also you could show that you're up to the challenge.
I was waiting for her to say, and, you know, because you're black and all.
And Corey is a manipulative ass bitch, and she thinks I'm stupid. I don't weigh her opinion much as a feather in my mind. I still gotta sleep on it.
Wait. What?
Don't wait.
It's pretty light. Let's listen to that again.
Corey is a manipulative ass bitch, and she thinks I'm stupid. I don't weigh her opinion much as a feather in my mind. I still gotta sleep on it.
She has to sleep on the feather?
No, ongoing to the guys team.
Okay.
Or well, maybe it is a feather. Who knows?
They had to do this thing for 20-item challenge, Bill. Remember that? With all the different items of food. And for some reason, Lou Ross, the lesbian on the show, he decided not to put veal on the plate because it wouldn't look right. Let's check out what happens there. Because
no, he just refused to use baby cows.
Oh, because they put them in a box where they're tender or something?
Yeah.
What did I say? It is the 20-item challenge.
Yes, you did, Chef.
20 items is 20 items. The test of this challenge was to maximize on the ingredients given to you.
Yes, Chef.
Blue team, you failed miserably because you forgot to serve the veal. Back in line.
I'm just blown away. Why didn't you put the veal on? It was right there. It was right there.
And Petruzza two times. He's got to see everything twice. I love that guy.
Right there. It was right there.
Now, Bill, when you were watching that, were you like, come on, say it again. You know you want
to.
Yeah,
I was. Honestly, I was.
It was right there. It was right there.
I was like,
reflection of the second one.
That was so great.
So much frustration in the way he says there.
Well, they had to do, the blue team had to do all the laundry and stuff. And the,
all
everyone,
by hand.
Everyone went
on
a photo shoot.
Hold on. What cracked me up about the reason why he wouldn't put it on the plate is because he didn't feel it matched with the dish.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden he's some sort of like top chef where he's like, no, it just doesn't quite work. No, the whole idea was just to put the goddamn steak on the plate, you idiot.
It was like he didn't want to call it surf and turf. I don't want to be ordinary and do surf and turf.
And the all chef
on Hell's Kitchen.
It was
ordinary.
And okay, what is with Jen blamed him and she kept calling him a stupid ass under her breath and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was with Jean-Philippe going in there and messing with her? Like, oh, are you still in a bad mood? Are you going to be a bitch all day?
He doesn't like blacks.
Let's check this scene out. I was like, what?
Jen, I found your little friend. He's as feisty as you are today.
In a crab.
Look at it. Jen.
I found him in your pubic hair.
Pissed off about being here having to do laundry. So, no, I'm not going to be happy and doing cartwheels.
Jen. Shall I see this lovely smile on your face?
You ain't gonna be seeing no smile on my face.
Are you gonna be bitchy the whole day?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay.
I think it's not fair for your colleagues.
It's not fair that I'm here, so whatever. My dish was flawless, as usual. As usual, my was flawless, so I don't give a stupid ass.
Wow. Have they ever showed Jean-Philippe this much on a season?
No.
No, no.
What's going on?
They did like one other time. I can't remember what it was, but he was in charge of doing something last season. So, I mean, he had a little bit more.
But it's like you had the guy with Francisco, him dealing with that, and now you have this.
I love that he's like the goofy French comic relief now.
Well, the best part.
Like he drives the pizza go-kart.
Yeah, and they play the clown music. But wouldn't you say the best part of this whole episode was Matt cutting the tip of his finger off? Let's check it out.
That was terrific.
While the red team is already cooking theirs.
Make sure you use every ingredient one time.
I'm just going to put this veal kind of like in a creamy sauce. You cut yourself?
Yeah, real bad. I just took off the tip of my finger.
Oh, my God.
He took it off?
I
took off the tip.
Max sliced the tip of his finger off, and I do mean like a half inch of his finger right off.
Oh my goodness.
What's wrong?
No. I took off the tip of my finger.
I'll get you in a minute.
Damn.
Up.
Damn. Just stay focused.
You have cut the top off.
Woo. Stay focused while I get my veal in the creamy sauce.
Where's the top of the finger gone?
Good question.
Find his finger. I don't know where it is. I have no idea.
They should have cut to Corey eating it, going, huh?
He was kind of gross.
This is chewy.
We just cooked Maddie's finger. I might use it. I'm serious.
You just turned into a 21-item challenge. Finger potato.
Oh, very dramatic music on this show. And once again, guys, I noticed the narrator's trying to take over the show. Like, it's my show. I'm the narrator. Have you guys noticed that? Like, this part about where Matt cut the meat in different sizes.
Yeah.
Like, a real tiny piece. And he talked about Matt shrinkage. Didn't you notice that, Bill?
Yeah.
Let's check this out.
While Matt tries to control his shrinkage...
Like, oh, I'm so funny. It's my show. It's Hell's Kitchen mine. His shrinkage, get it?
Shrinkage.
Oh, I'm so clever.
Like, what is that? Oh, thank God Roseanne got kicked off.
Got the boot.
Wasn't it about time?
Yeah.
No, oh my God, I can't believe I got kicked off. I got kicked off of the show. What am I going to do?
My daughter, she'll be so disappointed.
My daughter.
Is she from your nose with a rubber hose?
Is she from New York?
From Brooklyn?
I think she's from Yonkers.
She's from Brooklyn.
Hey, you guys get in the kitchen and get these dishes out of here. I ain't cleaning them up again.
That was Ben doing Roseanne. He actually did a pretty good version of that. Now, we don't have any Lost, we don't have any Smallville, we just have some Battlestar Galactica, so let's take a break, come back, do BSG real quick, hit that, hit the news, hit DVDs, what do you guys say?
What about Top Chef?
Oh, we gotta do Top Chef as soon as we get back from a break, Bill, because I gotta conduct some business, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You know what I mean, Bill, I gotta conduct some business.
I would like a sperm donation.
No, Foggy!
And we'll put the creamy sauce on the veal.
On the tip of Matt's finger.
Get the finger pinched.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody. And I apologize.
I'm Bronson Pinchot. I'd like to speak to you about an issue which seems to be tearing our country apart. The issue, which tastes better, Pepsi or Coke Classic?
For the next few months, everyone all over America can come on down to a taste test booth and taste for themselves which one is really America's choice.
You think there's any doubt who's going to win?
Let your taste decide and discover once and for all why Pepsi is America's choice.
Set free by the teen angels from his prehistoric block of glacier ice comes the world's first superhero, Captain Caveman. Now the constant companion to the teen angels, Brenda, Dee Dee, and Taffy in their hilarious and sometimes scary mystery missions. Get ready for Captain Caveman and the teen angels.
He's the greatest. Wherever there is danger, he'll be there. Danger Mouse.
Amazing.
Danger Mouse.
Astounding.
Danger Mouse.
Hey, me fellas. Look here. Seagulls. 41 cooler seagulls.
This is 29 Acacia Road, and this is Eric, the schoolboy who leads an amazing double life. For when Eric eats a banana, an amazing transformation occurs. Eric is Banana Man, ever alert for the call to action.
that, Bill?
The final
you didn't Enemy recognize it?
No. I'm gonna have me
sorry. Whatchamacallit I have in my mouth.
Ooh, whatchamacallit.
What is it? Don't even try that shit.
No, that's its name. Whatchamacallit.
I would like a sperm donation.
Now stop it, Foggy.
That was the theme to not necessarily the news.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that in years or
loved
even
that
thought
show.
Of it in years. Hey, that, who was that big fat guy on there? He was basically the
Stuart Pankin.
Stuart Pankin.
He was hilarious. I liked him.
Yeah, Stuart Pankin.
What
Rich
is your problem?
Huh? All right.
Great show.
He does infomercials late at night now, Stu.
I know, and he looks like he's like lost all this weight, and he still wears the big clothes.
Poor guy.
Where's those?
It's split teeth and
what
blood
are they, those?
And stitches and hospital.
Those arch supports.
Yeah. All right, Top Chef. It's Restaurant Wars. You know the first part of the episode where they do the why can't I ever think of that challenge in the beginning?
Quick fire challenge.
Quick fire challenge. They did the thing. Did you get to watch it, Steven?
No.
They do the at the diner where they did the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
What was that called?
I wish they would have showed that a little more.
She called it the something.
Short order cook.
Yeah, short order cook where they made different kinds of eggs. Everyone eats breakfast at this place, and the food looks so good, man. Like all these different kind of like omelets, poached eggs, fried eggs, scrambled
yeah,
eggs.
Yeah, I was getting hungry. I love the like the diners that do the hash browns with really thinly sliced potato.
Is there
so
anything
it gets real
better?
Crunchy and brown? Oh,
seriously, is there anything better than just really bad for you fattening breakfast?
Oh,
it's just awesome.
No, there's nothing better.
You know, bacon, sausage, pancakes.
I really love. I love IHOP. I know.
Yeah. It's just some mornings when I'm like kind of depressed on a weekend or something. I'll wake up and I'll cook the bacon in the pan or the sausage in the pan on purpose so that after it cooks, I get like all those little bits stuck on the bottom and I pour out everything but like 2 tablespoons of the grease and then use milk and flour and make that cream gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
My dad took me to this place called the Rise and Shine Cafe, and I swear it's for old clientele, for senior citizens. That place is awesome, Steven. All breakfast food.
Mm.
It's on Alta Mesa. It's a hole-in-the-wall dive, but the food is incredible.
Mm.
Awesome. So anyway, back to Top Chef.
Food.
IHOP right after the show. No, IHOP always...
You guys come over, I'll make you breakfast
myself.
In the morning.
It's like good at first, but then... You know, the worst part about IHOP also, most of them here, Bill, smoking
yeah.
section.
Yeah.
And everything yeah. smells like cigarettes. You can. It's coming in. Last
but
time
I do
I
love the
IHOP,
buttermilk... pancakes.
Last time I went to IHOP, I had a sore throat when I left because of all the cigarette smoke. But
well, you went there like 3 in the morning after all the bars let out.
No,
all
this
the...
was in the morning for breakfast. But Denny's? What about Denny's?
I'd rather Denny's... have IHOP personally. Go ahead.
You know, up here in the northern areas,
Denny's.
I think the best breakfast, the best chain breakfast is probably Bob Evans.
Who?
Bob Evans is good.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bob Evans
pancakes?
Has been around for a while up here in the northern area.
I'll try it out.
we had Denny's in Michigan, but in Pennsylvania, in like southwest Pennsylvania where I grew up, it was Eaton Park. That
Eaton
was
Park.
The
didn't
the
Bob
good
Evans
breakfast,
he, like, they sold like the sausage, you know, in the grocery stores down here. You could get the rolls of,
yeah.
where you could cut the sausage up here.
Yes, yeah. They,
we
they
didn't have
do
the
that,
stores
yes.
down here. I know they have
but
them.
But their buttermilk pancakes are pretty good.
Nice. Okay, I'm officially hungry. So they had to each, a team of 3 each. Isn't there only 6 people left, Bill? Yeah, there's
yes.
6 people left. Richard... Antonia, who I think will be the finalists. But that girl, Stephanie, she's kind of like crept in there, so she's pretty
yeah,
talented.
Yeah, Stephanie,
too.
I think Stephanie, Antonia, and Richard are the 3, like, part of the final 4, the final 4 Cylons.
The reject team is Spike, Dale and Lisa.
Lisa, yeah. Oh my God, does Lisa get more irritating with every episode?
Oh my God, and she blames everything on everyone else. And
she's such an angry dyke.
She crosses her arms and she has this angry look, like she's gonna pull out a wrench and hit you over the head.
So defensive about everything. Like, even though, like, she'll admit to some things, like, "Oh, that's my fault." It's still like pulling teeth. She's, oh my God, is she angry?
Well, the best,
and that earring in her eyebrow doesn't help.
You know, I don't understand why anyone does that piercing. It doesn't look cool. It looks like a fishing accident to me.
Well, and you know what else? I've seen women with, like, the earring in their nose, and it looks like a pimple from, like, a distance. Like, look at the size of that zit.
Who is that chick on Hell's Kitchen that said this?
Oh, God, I just feel so diva-ish right now.
Christy?
Yeah, they were getting ready for the photo shoot. I thought that was hilarious. But, okay, Bill, they have to prepare their own restaurants, and the head chef, what is his name, Tom?
Tom Colicchio.
He had to do some kind of charity event or something. So
yes, and he looked very metrosexual with his scarf.
Yes.
His scarf and his soul patch.
And they said they would have a special guest judge, so they're like, okay, whatever. Anyway, they're preparing the restaurants. Then who walks in the door but Anthony Bourdain? And I don't know about you, Bill, but I would have been like, oh, crap. Like, I don't want him.
You know what? If it was him, he'd be like, oh, this guy eats everything. So
there's nothing
he won't eat.
Is it Richard who says that or Spike? He goes, this guy's palate is incredible.
Yeah, it was Spike. You know, I loved his book, A Cook's Tour, and No Reservations, and all. I mean, just the guys.
He knows everything, like, about restaurants, chef. Food.
He grew up
all over
in France, and just it's
so him judging your food. I can imagine you're like, oh crap! I'll take Tom any day of the week. But let's check out Bourdain's appearance on the show.
Jeff Bourdain is here.
Guess who's back?
Hello, chefs. Could you listen up for a second? Just wanted to let you know that Tom's away and that I'll be filling in for him today, bringing my warmer, sunnier disposition to this this challenge.
Happy to see Anthony. I got the utmost respect for that guy. But, you know, it's Asian food, and if there's any chef out there that has traveled all of Asia, it's him. I think Dale's pissed his pants a little bit on this one.
The difference between the two teams' comportment is very striking. Antonia Richard and Stephanie's team deliberately creating modest expectations makes it a hell of a lot easier to exceed those expectations. But nobody's reaching too far, taking any big chances with this menu. Over at My Buddha, things could go really, really well here really badly. They say they're all very comfortable with Asian food. You know, Asia's big. How good can you be at all of those things? We have two very different teams tonight, and they're offering us two very different dining concepts. This should be a really interesting meal.
And, you know, it wasn't even fair. As soon as the teams were picked, you knew who was going to lose.
Yeah.
You knew that Dale was going to choke Lisa. And it's funny, they knew Spike did the best thing. Spike ran. He was the waiter. So you knew he wasn't going to get kicked off the team.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he did. He was going to wait on everyone and pick the, whatever you call it, the tablecloth and all that crap. But it would be whoever was preparing the food that was going to be screwed. So, yeah. And can we just talk about who got kicked off, Bill? Because it's a matter of time before Lisa is told to pack her knives and leave. But they picked...
Honestly, she should have went this week.
I couldn't believe that she didn't go this week. It was Dale who did. And it was only because Dale was the head chef of the restaurant.
Yeah, but see, Lisa's the one that ruined the dishes.
Right.
She made the laksa, which is a spicy rice noodle soup. I've had it before. When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's really bad.
Remember, she says, I'm making laksa, and Anthony Bourdain says, oh, laksa is my favorite. It's just like, I quit. That's what you should have said.
I know exactly what they're talking about. I had a laksa once at a restaurant that was it was a chicken curry laksa, so it was really spicy. You know, all the curry is a million different spices.
I always thought you
but
had
it was
bagels
also really
with that.
Smoky, and sometimes it's like the smoke just overwhelms the flavor, and that sounds like what she did with this one.
What's crazy is Dale and Spike tasted it and said, too much smoke, too much smoke. Why wouldn't you start over from scratch at that point?
It's really not that hard because, I'm sure she would have had the time.
It's kind of weird.
It's just a matter of making the stock again. Or maybe she used all her stock and couldn't do it again because the stock takes a while.
Now, one thing I love about the show is how they show the preparation of the food and then the judges eating the food. And that's the one thing that kind of sucks about is that you don't get to taste it, too. You know what I mean? Like, I love to be able to taste it along with it. Like, oh, yeah, you're right. This is good. But there have been some things where I've been like, I don't know if I'd take a bite of that, you know?
Yeah.
It just looks kind of...
Everything looked pretty good to me this episode, but I knew... You could just tell when it was Dale and Lisa on the same team, the last time those two were together, they were at each other's throat.
Yeah.
And it was obvious when that went down and Spike was there, he just knew, like, that's it. You know, I'll stay at the front.
I love that Anthony Bourdain also mentioned that I hate this also when you see desserts, the smear... Where they put something smeared on the plate and then put the dessert on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy says, especially when it's brown. Like it's a brown smear.
And it was a chocolate smear.
Yeah, it
looked like a skid mark.
Oh, man.
And I love that it was
I hate when they drizzle it all over the plate.
He's had plenty of smears on his face.
They do drizzle squiggles.
All over the plate. It's like... Put the chocolate on the cake. I want it on there.
You're supposed to... I don't know about you guys, but I hate when I see people, you're eating, and they start smearing their food around on the plate. I think it's kind of gross, honestly.
Well, like, is it gross, it's just improper.
Yeah, so... Proper! Oh, sorry. I had a hammer flashback for a second.
Like, hey, this isn't the Cracker Barrel, buddy.
Don't be sopping up your gravy with a biscuit here.
I love the Cracker Barrel. The only thing I hate about it is that store that's inside. Oh, my daughter, it holds her attention. She didn't want to sit down and eat. So she's like,
all that kitschy garbage.
Yeah, she wants to go play with the toys and stuff. It's like, no, we want to finish eating, please. But
best thing at the Cracker Barrel is getting the Stewart's orange cream soda with your food. Or at least that's what they have around here.
What was that?
Shrinkage.
Huh?
What?
Okay, that Top Chef's great. It's winding down. There will be the final four next week. We already know that it's Anders, Ty, and the Chief, and that other chick. So, anyway. Oh, wait, I'm confusing myself.
Tori?
Yeah, I think so.
Tori,
who gets on my nerves. Okay, let's get to Battlestar Galactica, then we'll get into the news. I thought this episode had me. If I can even remember it, until the very end where it annoyed me.
Exactly.
I'm referring to Sharon, her dream, and her freaking out and running after her baby. That whole scene there.
I am tired of visions, okay? Everybody talks like they have visions, like it's an everyday occurrence on the show.
I know! Like, what's with the visions?
It's like, I had a vision. They're going to take her. I had a vision. I saw them. I had a... You know what? It's like, whoever had a vision, put your hand up, and the entire crew does.
Isn't... Okay, do
I think
you guys...
me and Jason talked about this the other night. We were, like, going...
Do you guys... The final Cylon has got to be Rosalind, don't you think?
That's what I've thought. Didn't I say that a couple weeks ago?
She's having dreams. No, I think I said it. I take full credit for that, Steven. No, okay, she's having dreams of Cylons in it. Remember that touching dream I talked about? She saw her mom on the dock when she was dying. Implants, just like the Terrell Corporation, Bill. Nexus 6, all that stuff.
More human than human.
Yes. Her candle has burned twice as bright and whatever. I got nothing. But
like
anyway.
Tears in the rain.
I've seen things. But she's the final Cylon. We already figured it out. But anyway, blah, blah, blah. I love the stuff with the Cylons, rebelling Cylons, except they keep second-guessing themselves.
Not only that, it's like, hey, okay, it's time to trust them. No, wait, it's not time to trust them. Yeah. Okay, it's time to trust them. I got shot. Now I'm going to die.
My favorite part of the whole episode, though, is they're standing on the deck of the Cylon ship, and the Centurion walks by kind of like really rudely, you know, kind of pushes the humans out of the way. And there's this chick, like some extra in her BSG costume. And she's like, I never, kind of a look on her face. It's like, It's a friggin' Cylon robot, lady. Step out of the way. Like, don't be offended. The guy's got machine guns built into his hands. But that,
don't
I thought
you
the
program manners.
Upload the manners into this thing.
But it's like me and Jason were talking. It's like when they didn't have a real ending in mind the first season, the writing was really good. Yeah. Now that they have an ending, it's like.
It's getting worse.
It's the opposite of Lost. Lost got better when they had the ending. BSG got worse when they have an ending.
It's like, yeah, they got to end it, so they've just got all this filler in between just to get to the end.
Not legitimate.
It's not legitimate, I think, is what we're getting at.
I can't wait to see what goes on this week. Just
now, they've mapped everything out.
See, and I told you, when I said, why are they ending? They don't have to end.
This, okay.
But you're saying, y'all said, look, BSG has
an ending. You know why they're ending? Ronald Moore got a film deal. That's why they're ending.
Okay, no.
He's like, shit, I need to end this so that I can move on to bigger and better things.
I love the whole thing with the Cylon ship showing up, and the Demetrius didn't jump, so they were going to attack it, and the last minute they didn't, and they didn't have communications. All that stuff was great. The stuff with Gaeta and him singing, that it was okay at first, but they showed too much of it. Stop singing! Stop showing scenes of him singing. But anyway, it's really sad he got his leg chopped off.
Yes, but the singing helps soothes it.
Yeah, don't they
have... I wanted to punch Rosalind when she goes, isn't it sad that such a horrible thing had to happen to discover such a beautiful voice?
Yeah.
It's like, are you serious?
Okay, they're basically the rebel Cylons are going to go with them to the hub, which all of the resurrection ships come from, right? I guess that I understand. And if they blow up the hub, no Cylon will ever be able to resurrect again, right?
Right.
Also, they need to unbox Deanna, who is there at the hub, because she knows who the final five are.
Take her out of the original shrink wrap.
I did like the scene where Rosalind and Adama are talking about it, and Colonel Ty was there, and he's like, I think we should just blow the whole fracking thing. We don't need to know who the Final Five are. I thought that scene was hilarious because he's a Final Five, and he doesn't want them to know. So anyway, they laid out the plans. It's very interesting. They're going to go in there. It's going to be an awesome space battle, right? They're going to unbox Deanna. There's going to be some kind of hostage crisis to get the Final Five, all this stuff. So I'm cool. I'm like, okay, they've set up the next episode brilliantly. It's going to kick ass. But then they have this stupid dream sequence where Sharon chasing after her stupid kid who's grown years since last season. And
it's in the opera house.
And yeah, it's in the magic opera house, which is probably on Earth or something. I don't know. It's in Vancouver, Canada, most likely, where they film it. But anyway, she chases after, and then there's the hot Trisha Helfer, the non-wig wearing. I think she looks so hot in her natural hair. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, she picks her up, and Hera likes her and whatever. And anyway, she blows her away, and I was like, what? And luckily, they show in the next episode that she's not dead. But here's the thing. I really thought that they were like, okay, we can't get to that cool stuff too soon, so let's fill it in with her coming to getting shot. And they had her character where, like, no, we can't hold anyone hostage. We need the humans to trust us. We need to trust them or whatever. We need to have more faith. And then this happens where she gets shot. It wasn't necessary. And I know shit happens, and we're not supposed to like everything that happens. That's life.
It happens. What?
But
shit. Sometimes.
Yeah, it just drives me nuts.
Booty.
Huh?
Yeah, it's getting to be a little much.
Now, in the original series back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, whatever, they had the robot Lucifer, right?
Yes.
I'm waiting for them to bring this guy out.
Yeah! Where's Lucifer?
I'm waiting for Zer to show up. I'm like waiting. I'm wanting him to be the last one.
They're gonna pick up Zer in his escape pod, and they're gonna bring the Codan Armada. What's left of them.
The streaking comet was the Cylon ship. I thought that was the visual effects in the show are incredible.
That was clever. Yeah.
They really are, and I can't wait to see a hub space battle. And they better give it to me. At least give me that, And I don't know about you guys, but I was like, okay, I'm into this episode. The whole opening scene, they jump there and everything's screwed and everything, awesome effects. Cut to Apollo with the Quorum of 12. I was like, no. Apollo's in a suit now. He's a politician. But I did like the scene where he tried to explain where, well, you know, these people, you can see in their eyes, they've just never know, so they're always ready to die. And she's like, well, try to be in charge of those people or whatever. But anyway, I'm just so uninterested in that storyline. It's not even funny.
But, yeah, it's and we get our Richard Hatch dosage.
Yeah, and I think he's great on the show, but it's obvious they have nothing for him to do right now on the show. So anyway, I
think Dirk
maybe
Benedict
he's the last Cylon.
Yeah, he's going to be Lucifer.
Oh God, yep. I just feel so diva-ish right now.
Yeah, me too. Well, Bill, what do you say we get into the news?
All right,
let's do it. Let's do this.
It was right there. It was right there.
Take it off, baby.
I love that inflection of the second there.
Right there.
Right there.
I love Petroza two times.
He is the star of the show. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
You know, Petroza will win the whole thing.
He will. He's great.
You know, because he's very, you know, Chef Ramsay respects him.
He does. I respect Petroza, too.
Portsmouth, Maine, I believe. Paul Baldwin, no relative to the Baldwin brothers, is being held on $10,000 cash bail for allegedly stealing a $1.99 can of beer after being described in the district court as a leech on the resources of the community for being arrested 152 times.
Wow.
Wow.
That's what I
said. I don't need a lawyer, said Baldwin, 48, with no permanent address, to Judge Sawako Gardner. I've been in this court more times than you have.
Wow. I already feel like a winner.
Yeah.
I already feel like a winner.
Baldwin was arraigned on Monday on charges of alleging theft and breaching bail. Police say he stole a can of beer from the Islington Street Mobile on the Run store. While Baldwin claimed he was returning to the store to pay for the beer he already drank at the time of his Monday morning arrest. I was paying for it. I already drank it. Prosecutor Corey McDonald asked the court for a high cash bail while describing Baldwin as a leech and citing his criminal history as including 152 arrests, 8 trespass notices, 75 citations, 4 different social security aliases and convictions for thefts, receiving stolen property, arson, and criminal mischief.
I love you, man.
We deal with Paul Baldwin more than anyone else, said the prosecutor, Corey McDonald. Love it.
So he's this, done arson?
I guess so. Get this, last week Baldwin was brought to the Portsmouth Regional Hospital after he was found passed out in a city park, and shortly after his release, he was arrested after pedestrians in the Vaughan Mall complained about his unruly behavior while drinking from a bottle of Wild Irish Rose.
So do the cops walk up and go, oh, come on, man! You can't even make it a few minutes!
You again?
Can't even make it a whole day without getting arrested.
The bailiff gave him the paperwork to endorse, Baldwin told him, I'm not signing nothing. He was transported to the Rockingham County House of Corrections. I guess that's kind of like the Tyler Perry House of Pain.
I guess that's his new permanent address.
Yes.
Now back off and let me pee.
I wonder how Bubba's right. doing. Do you guys ever wonder that?
How what?
Do you guys ever wonder how Bubba's doing?
Yeah, I'm wondering how Mike Cooper's doing.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, that's loud. Someone needs to level 8 that. All right. Now, this sucks. A group wants Wi-Fi banned from public buildings.
I would like a sperm donation.
Oh, dear. Wi-Fi banned?
Yes. And this sucks because it's just today. It was funny. I had to go pick up some prescriptions from the CVS, the pharmacy, and it's right beside a Tim Hortons. So while I was waiting, I got to check my email on my iPhone.
Nice.
You know, because the Tim Hortons signal went all the way into the CVS. So it was – that's just – I love Wi-Fi. It's awesome.
I had no idea they had Tim Hortons in America. I thought it was just in Canada.
No, they have Tim Hortons all over here.
Nice.
So a group in Santa Fe, New Mexico says the city is discriminating against them because they say they're allergic to the wireless internet signal.
Huh?
And now they want Wi-Fi banned from public institute Wi-Fi wide access.
Hold on, Bill. You dropped out. Something about them being allergic to Wi-Fi.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, these people want it banned in Santa Fe, New Mexico because they're allergic to Wi-Fi. What I said is, you know, these people, how are they going to deal with a city that goes, you know, citywide Wi-Fi? You know, there's a lot of cities that are doing that now.
San Jose, Arthur, California.
How do you know you're allergic to Wi-Fi?
Well, it says
there's no
Arthur
way.
First. Sorry. What?
I was saying, there's Ooh. No way that you can be, because it'd be like saying you're allergic to the cell phone, you know, the band of a cell phone.
Right. Do they have any kind of proof, Bill? Or
I have no. It says Arthur Furstenberg says he is highly sensitive to certain types of electric fields, including wireless internet and cell phones. I get chest pain, and it doesn't go away right away. Furstenberg and dozens of other electro-sensitive people in Santa Fe claim that putting up Wi-Fi in public places is a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The city attorney is now checking to see if putting up Wi-Fi could be considered discrimination.
What?
These people are crazy. City Councilor Ron Trujillo says the areas are already saturated with wireless internet. It's not 1692. It's 2008. Santa Fe needs to embrace this technology. It's not going away.
Right.
The city attorney hopes to have a legal recommendation by the end of the month. Now, I have heard of people that do have a sensitivity to certain, electrical frequency bandwidth sort of things. But I've never heard anything like this.
Really? That's crazy. Do they have, like, fillings in their teeth that, I mean...
They can pick up radio stations?
I don't understand how anyone would know they're feeling a certain way because of Wi-Fi.
I guess when you're around it and you feel like it, it's...
I've been in, like, places that have free Wi-Fi and...
Barbecues Galore in the chat room said that he's electrosensitive, but unless they're right up against the transmitter, he calls BS. So it sounds like somebody's just trying to abuse the Americans with Disability Act.
See, I mean, it's the same in the hospitals when they tell you not to use your cell phones. Cell phone frequencies are bouncing all around there. It would destroy any signal anyways The only time your EM from your phone is if you're directly up against a piece of electronic equipment in a hospital.
Well, how do you feel when you're electrosensitive? How does your body feel? Jeez. I want to ask Barbecue's Galore that.
Does it make your testicles swell?
He says, oh, my God.
Most probably transmitters. Yeah. Wow, Steven.
That was a bit much, Steven.
Barbecue Galore in the chat room says most public Wi-Fi transmitters are way up on the ceiling, so the field strength is way decreased where the people are. So, he calls bullshit. I call bullshit.
All right.
We all call bullshit.
I'd be pissed, you know, because I'd like Wi-Fi.
Like I said, and like Barbecue Galore would say, it's, unless you're directly against it, you're probably not going to feel it.
Right.
He says he gets headaches, mood swings, and blurred vision.
Mood swings, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty intense. All right. Now, this is for anybody that gets a jury notice.
I feel so diva-ish right now.
Last week, the jury selection started for the R. Kelly trial. You know, how he has sex with underage girls and then pees on them.
That's still going on?
Oh, yeah. So, they said that they're covering some dismissed jurors in the Chicago Tribune, and this is funny. The potential jury members that were dismissed gave these excuses, and you might want to use these. One said, "I have a teenage daughter." Several axed jurors provided this explanation for why they couldn't give Kelly a fair trial. "I would have a hard time see anything involving a child without thinking of my child." Yeah, I can understand that when R. Kelly liked to pee on them, which is really weird.
Yeah.
What do they call that? It's not golden. It's golden showers, but there's something else. I forget what the fetish is called. Doesn't matter.
Shrinkage. That's a good thing. One person knows that.
Yeah. Whoever pipes up in the chat room to tell us we're really worried right now.
Well, Glenn
that
just
would
said
like a sperm
shower.
Donation.
Oh, stop with the sperm.
But there's something else. There's something else other than golden shower. I can't remember.
I'm trying to maybe think, from Howard. Was it? You probably think I'm.
I don't want to know. Okay.
Water sports.
There's this movie called.
Yeah, water sports.
There's this movie called Vice Squad where there's a part where a guy's picking up a hooker and she's like, "What do you want?" And he goes, "You ever heard of a golden shower?" And I remember asking whatever adult was in there, "What's a golden shower?" It's just like, "We're turning the channel." turn the channel right now.
All right, this is really funny. Two people on the jury, possible jury, were kicked off because they said they would change the age of consent. One said nature already had an age of sexual consent, puberty.
Wow. That's messed up.
One person said that they save lives. So an oncologist was excused from duty after he told the jury that he would create a logistical nightmare for his patients. So you might want to act like
you
your
feminist
doctor.
Pig.
One person said, yes, I think I could be fair to Mr. Kelly. Maybe. Yes, nearly. Yes. Nearly everyone who paused when asked if he or she could give the singer a fair trial got the boot. One person said they were a cop. Right. And they were dismissed after about 2 minutes. One person said they heart R. Kelly.
They heart R. Kelly.
Yes. Nothing gets prospective jurors booted faster than telling the prosecution they are a fan.
Yeah.
Just ask the woman who called him a musical genius.
Is this a guy who was trapped in the closet?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I believe I can fly.
That guy is, wow.
Weirdo. One person said that they would change their vacation plans. Over-eagerness to serve on jury is a definite red flag. One person said they work for a law firm and also said, "I believe Mr. Kelly is guilty of the charges due to what I have read in the papers. The fact that he was indicted by the grand jury further validates my belief."
Wow.
Another person said they were getting married. Another person said they are currently involved in a lawsuit.
What was that?
Let me out of this space!
Gary Busey's trapped in the closet.
With R. Kelly?
I love Gary Busey.
One juror failed to show for service. Deputies called his house and his mother answered. She told the court when she didn't know when her son was and that he hadn't been right since he was shot in the head a while back.
Wow.
Go out and get shot in the head and then have your mom tell him you're not right.
He's not right in the head.
That boy ain't right.
And my favorite excuse for getting off a jury, I blame R. Kelly for September 11th.
Okay.
That's genius.
When the judge asked one prospective juror about his feelings regarding Kelly, he cryptically answered, "R. Kelly may have led the Taliban in attacking us on 9/11, but you can't prove it." You're right. We can't. In fact, we're fairly certain that no one has ever tried.
I find that so hard to believe.
That's good stuff. All right. an ex-convict in Buffalo, New York, will spend the next 7 years in prison for hitting his friend on the head with a claw hammer. What did he hit his friend in the head with a claw hammer for?
Why?
Spilled beer.
Oh, he deserved it.
That son of a bitch.
Right, Steven?
Yeah. I thought there might have been a nail sticking out of it, and he wanted to flush it out.
He wanted to get it out. Gregory Hill, 47, was convicted November 2nd, 2007, of second-degree assault. The victim, Brian Dudas, 46, was attacked in Hill's Plymouth Avenue flat after they had watched a televised hockey game.
Oh, man.
Prosecutor Christopher H. Gresham said Hill was sentenced as a second violent felony offender. In 1998, he was convicted of burglary and spent 4 years in prison.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, what's up?
You know, that's really not a guy you should hang out with.
No. Gresham said Dudas, a Buffalo truck driver, identified Hill during a brief jury trial. Dudas said on the back of his skull was cracked with a claw hammer after he accidentally spilled beer on Hill's couch while they and others watched Buffalo Sabres game.
Wow.
You son of a bitch, that's my new couch. I got that from Value City Furniture.
He probably stole the couch.
I wouldn't doubt that. All right, this is a great story. Love it. This is, you know, sometimes you just deserve more when you're at work. A bullied office worker in England has been awarded £5,000 after her boss raised his right buttock from his chair and broke wind in her direction.
Well, other than that, what a jerk.
I spot in your general direction. The humiliated mother of three was the only woman on a sales team where laddish behavior made her life a misery and continued despite complaints to her senior managers.
Good Lord. Hey, you know what? After throw the book at the guy for all, you know, there's nothing worse than someone who's has fart humor and nobody else in the room does.
I know. Farts are hilarious to me. I don't understand, you know, why some people are offended.
Oh, dude. Meeting's farts over.
Farts are awesome. After she
farts
objected to
are awesome.
I love farts. They can like sound different and
wow,
smell different and they're just funny. All right, after she objected to sexist banter, a beach ball was thrown at her head. And when she had problems working her computer, was ordered to wear a badge saying, "I'm simple."
What?
Oh, I love these guys. Now an employment tribunal has ruled that Mrs. Bailey was sexually discriminated against while working for the direct marketing firm and awarded her £5,146. There was a general culture of laddish behavior by men in her office, she said, with her line manager, David Nye, included. She said he regularly lifted his right cheek and broke wind in her direction throughout her brief time at the firm. Mrs. Bailey said colleagues leered at female passersby and joked that the woman couldn't park cars.
Huh?
Yeah. And when she complained about the state of the communal lavatories, Bill Nye, the science guy, sent an email to a colleague that said, "That's why we don't employ women."
Yeah, the sausage.
These guys are just classic.
This isn't a place you should work, I'm thinking.
Yeah, wow.
Are you going to be bitchy the whole day?
So she just
you
said
know what?
That she
what
felt
John
so
Philippe said to Jen was kind of like
sexist
and what would you call it? Yeah. Just being a dick.
I wonder if he farted in her general direction.
I'm going to lift my cheek at you. Oh, what?
I fart in your general direction.
Shrinkage.
Your mother was a whore and your father smelt of elderberries. All right.
It's not legitimate.
A woman in Iowa has an unusual hero to thank for a thwarted mugging Thursday. A parked car.
Really?
Carla Gistors was walking in downtown
Who?
Des Moines at 6:50. Gistors. She was walking in downtown Des Moines at 6:15 a.m. Thursday when a man threatened her with a box cutter. It must be a terrorist. And, that hurt. Hearing her scream, a passing motorist then pulled over to help, and the thief, still looking back at Gersters, ran smack into the parked car. The would-be mugger crashed so hard he not only dropped the purse and the box cutter, but also did some damage to the side and trunk of the vehicle. Holy shit!
This was
guy had some momentum.
Was this Herbie or Wonder Bug?
Was this the Juggernaut?
Yeah. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Nice. I'll smack you with your own pimp. So he managed to get away, but the purse was left behind along with all its contents.
Do you not know who I am? He must not know who I am. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. I'm gonna hit you with your own pimp.
Now, this is
that's good stuff.
Where some people actually deserve to die, Swiss man died when he fell from a hotel balcony during a spitting contest with a friend.
Oh my God.
The Daily Blick said the 29-year-old man took a run up from inside the room so he could spit further, but lost his balance and plummeted 6.4 meters to the street below.
It's he died. Teeth and blood and stitches and hospital.
The man had suggested the contest when he and two friends returned from a disco in their hotel in Cadampino, in Switzerland's Italian-speaking Ticino.
Was it a discotheque?
Yes. One of the men went to sleep, but two others decided they could see who could spit the furthest from the balcony or the room.
The guy.
Now, this is great. I think this is right out of Grand Theft Auto. What?
The guy fell to
was that real sound from the scene?
Yes.
Where is it? Turlock. I don't know where Turlock is, but
I think that's a Vulcan guy on Star Trek.
Yeah, or a dinosaur hunter.
you're right.
A startling find behind a Jack in the Box in Turlock. A bazooka.
Nice.
Stopley.
is that California?
This is very unusual, but the rocket launcher was found at a fast food restaurant in Turlock. Cops say an employee found the weapon while taking out the trash near the dumpster behind the establishment. Ready to go at any time, the county bomb squad is trained to defuse the toughest situations, but this week they got a call they'll never forget. They called to handle the bazooka, which was found with a few rounds. Whoa.
What?!
While Turlock police inside the Jack and Box warned people, Sergeant Ralph with the Sheriff's Department geared up. Go, Sergeant Ralph! With his robot by his side, a veteran cop discovered that the rocket launcher did not work and the missiles were no threat. The bazooka does not work, so deputies will not be shooting it off, but they will be using it for technical purposes. So there you go.
Is that California?
I don't know. I thought it was a vampire.
I worked in Turlock, California.
Maybe. I thought it was a dinosaur hunter. All right, I just wanted to do these short stories real quick, these two video game stories, because it piqued my interest. Anybody with the PlayStation 3 will now be able to play BioShock. They're porting it over to the PlayStation 3. Looks like it's going to be coming out June 5th. Or no. The article within PlayStation Magazine comes out June 5th, so maybe they'll see it near the end of the year. It's a great game, but they're talking about how it's the best shooter for the Xbox, and it's now better on the PS3, so we'll see what kind of stupid spin they put on that. And the last one is the one that piqued my interest the most, a series first for the Resident Evil games. Resident Evil 5, which will be out for the Xbox 360, is going to feature co-op playthrough.
Nice.
Yes,
that's
Resident
wicked
Evil
awesome.
5 will feature a cooperative player available through the campaign, which lets players drop in and out of co-op play. It also includes a new cover system. look how Gears of War has basically reinvented the shooter.
I know.
With the,
that's
the
crazy.
Cover system.
But, you know, the cover system rocks, but how do you cover from a zombie? Won't he just peek his head over and bite you in the neck?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work, but it looks pretty badass. What's more, the game will feature a dodging movement controlled by the right analog stick, and the game will take place in more open areas than previous Resident Evil titles.
Nice.
That sounds so cool, man. Yeah, oh, man. Rock on. We found our next co-op game.
After Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's
true.
That
game looks hella hard. I watched that video on game trailers. It just looks hard as hell. Like, just zombies never stop coming at you.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be a blast.
I hope it's not,
if not really frustrating.
I hope it's not a 3D gauntlet. Remember that game? How it just never... They just never stop coming.
That sucked. And that's the news for this week.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week. I really appreciate it. It sounded really good.
Thank you.
Huh? Okay, let's do DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs! Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! What the hell was that?
DVDs!
HD Blu-ray 7 definition!
DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
It's called running out of breath.
I can't hear you! Oh.
He hasn't recovered from the airport yet.
Shrinkage.
All right, Bill.
My timing's off. I'm in mountain time still.
What do we have?
It was right there.
You had it, Steve.
It was right
there. You could have grabbed hold of it.
If you missed, I should probably say what date this is, for Tuesday, May 27th, 2008. If you missed the 131st showing of the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, you can now own it on DVD in a collector's edition.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that stuff is just...
Is it narrated by Triumph or anything?
My favorite part's when the lady grabs her balls, like cups them. What's the right feel for balls? Like,
you know she likes it. No, you don't have to feel the ball. She just enjoys it.
It's a good sack right there.
Hey, so you don't shoot any puppies on your way out, okay?
Lovely texture.
Great ballage. Right.
Next
great
DVD
symmetry.
Is... A show that I hate with a passion.
Oh, no.
Absolutely fabulous. Absolutely everything.
I agree with you.
It's the entire series.
Actually, don't they call it Ab-Fab?
Ab-Fab,
to make it even more annoying as hell.
I hated that show. I remember when it was on Comedy Central. I tried watching it, and it's just so god-awful. All right, next DVD is a movie that I hadn't heard of, but it has quite a few stars in it. It's called The Air I Breathe, with Forest Whitaker, Andy Garcia, Brendan Fraser, Julie Delpy, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Kevin Bacon, Emil Hirsch.
Is it Gellar or Geller?
Well, it's Geller or Gellar.
Are you going to be bitchy the whole day?
It's about I guess it's one of those ensemble things where four people's lives intersect, you know, that bullshit.
And crash and...
Yeah.
It's probably good, but...
Kind of started with Amoros Perros, but now it's, like, out of control.
Bill, did you ever see the Richard Kelly movie?
Southland Tales? No, yeah. I haven't.
Oh, I was wondering that, because I know
I
everyone
need
called
put
it...
on my Netflix queue.
Everyone called it a disaster, but... I don't.
Well, I just think it's. I don't know. I think there's like really no story to it. It's almost like a documentary. I don't know. It's weird.
Bunch of.
I can't explain it.
Bunch of crazy shit going on. The reason Donnie Darko worked, even though you're not sure what the hell's going on, is it's just incredibly interesting. And I guess he made a film that wasn't interesting, and you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of people in makeup that make cameos in it or something.
Yeah.
All right, next DVD, Cassandra's Dream. Another one I've never heard of, but has Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell and Tom Wilkinson. Written by Woody Allen. Directed by Woody Allen. Whoa.
Okay.
Working class brothers who dream of better lives. Lead to desperation, greed, and deadly betrayal. Oh, that sounds terrible. Woody Allen seems to be pumping these things out lately.
He, what does he make, like 2 or 3 movies a year? And all, Scarlett Johansson's in all of them, it seems like. I guess she took this movie off.
That's weird. In between maybe recording. He's like kind of done with Sun Yi. Maybe he's used her up and put her away. I don't know.
He needs to get out of the house, I guess.
Take it off, baby. Woo! Look at this guy.
Yeah. Next DVD is Cleaner, starring Ed Harris, Ava Mendez, Samuel L. Jackson.
The Cleaner. I'm a Cleaner.
Yes. Directed by Rennie Harlan.
Awesome! Sold! That guy's a
single
genius.
Father. Well, I think Samuel L. Jackson probably appeared in this just as like a favor. Because, you know, he was great in Rennie Harlan's Long Kiss Goodnight. Single father, former cop, Tom Carver, played by Samuel L. Jackson, has an unusual vocation. He cleans up crime scenes. When he's called in to sterilize a wealthy suburban residence after a brutal shooting, he is shocked to learn he may have unknowingly erased crucial evidence, entangling himself in a dirty criminal cover-up.
He is a cleaner.
I'd probably rent this just to see. Again, another one I'd never heard of, but, I mean, it's got Ed Harris and Luis Guzman and Samuel Jackson, Ava Mendez.
Samuel Jackson's good. I mean, Ed Harris is good in everything he's in. Samuel Jackson phones it in a lot, I would say.
Yeah, he loves the paycheck.
Yeah, he does. And he's Nick Fury, and he's black.
He's ultimate Nick Fury.
Oh, Christ.
Ultimately stupid. And he's tired of these motherfucking stinks on this plane.
Bad.
Well, wow.
Good stuff, Steven.
It's a little dated there, Steven.
I just think about phoning it in. Just bad acting.
Oh, there, Steven. What's up? Yeah! All right. Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Steven did a snakes on the plane joke.
I just do a bad Samuel L. Jackson acting joke.
Oh, okay.
It didn't. Have, it couldn't have been anything else.
Okay.
All right. Well, what works for you, man? Degrassi, The Next Generation, Season 6.
Director. I love Degrassi, but not The Next Generation.
The director's cut, there must be more, like, teen strife.
You know, I will say it's a very well-done show. They've got a lot of real problems on the show and stuff like that, right, Steven?
And they've brought back a lot of the old characters.
Yeah.
As this one's adults. For Andy, this it's next one. Parents. It's the Eddie Murphy Comedy Collection. It has The Nutty Professor, Nutty Professor 2, Bowfinger, and Life. Where's Norbit?
You know what? I love Bowfinger, so that's actually one of the good movies.
I would call it a Steve Martin movie more than an Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah, I would too. But since it's in the box set, I...
Well, they got to put one good movie in there.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
You know, I remember the first Dr. Doolittle. It's not great or anything, but I watched it.
It's watchable.
It's watchable in a, like, if there's a kid in the room kind of way. That's the only way you can get away with it.
Wow.
But it's not great or anything. I'm not endorsing it. Okay?
Okay. Well, just make sure you say that. Next DVD is John Cusack in Grace Is Gone.
Now, okay, are we really going to do this again with the Cusack or the Cusack?
John Cusack, Cusack, does it matter?
You must chill! You must chill!
I believe it's Cusack.
Okay. Cusack.
I've got a real hang-up about the Cusack thing, all right? We did this like episode sack. 80 or something, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't remember. I just say Cusack. But if you want me to say Cusack, I will.
Shrinkage.
We just need to ask him.
I guess this one is about him.
I believe it's Cusack. Okay, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry. Good time.
I guess this one is about him, and he has two daughters, and the mother died in Iraq.
It looks incredibly sad. Incredibly sad. If you want to cry, you check this movie out, okay, Steven?
Is that your Petroza review?
Yeah, that's why.
It'll make you sad.
It'll make you sad.
It was right there.
It was right there.
There. He's got to emphasize it a second time and draw it out more.
Next DVD, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, Volume 2.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm done. I'm done.
That's Petroza. Follow.
He doesn't like the old...
He's not a fan of Orko.
Nah, not yet.
See?
I love Orko and Cringer.
How Man in Cringer, Arms.
Cringer was always afraid to turn into Battle Cat. He was so funny.
Man E Faces.
Good Lord. I remember Man at Arms.
Yeah, Man at Arms was cool.
So,
all right. Holocaust, the anniversary edition. Why not pick up this incredibly depressing television series movie with James Woods, Meryl Streep, and Michael Moriarty?
I think that came on when I was a kid, so I don't think I've ever seen it, but I'm sure it's.
Yeah, I think it was 1978.
It's probably, you know, really sad and disturbing.
I'm a little disturbed by it, to be honest with you.
This one has me scratching my head. It's called The Lather Effect. It came out in 2006. But what's funny is at the top of it, it says A Big Chill for Generation X. And the title, The Lather Effect, is written in the same font and the same style as The Big Chill. Like
proposal just, to jack off.
And it's got, never heard of Sarah Kelly, directed by, but it's got... Peter Facinelli, Ione Sky, Connie Britton, who's just milfish totally, Sarah Clark, Eric Stoltz, Tate Donovan, William Mapother, and David Herman. So it
hey,
sounds like it's
Eric Stoltz is around. Awesome.
Yeah, he's still around.
I would like a sperm donation
from Eric Stoltz. Oh, Matt Lauer's a big fan of Eric Stoltz,
Lord,
apparently.
No. Connie Britton looks great on the cover of this DVD.
She's just super, like you said, milfish, but she's super hot.
I thought she was hot when she was on Spin City with
you know
Michael
what?
Fox.
I watched Spin City, but it didn't, like my brain didn't tell me she used to be on Spin City. One day it was on, and it was just like, that's the chick from Friday Night Lights. Nice. Whatever.
Nice.
Yes.
Son of a bitch!
All right, Bill, what other fantastic DVDs are coming out this week?
Yeah, this is a really weak, kind of. Man, that would be really confusing for somebody who is just learning English.
It's a really weak, W-E-E-K, no, W-E-A-K, W-E-E-K. good stuff. I'm leaving. Bye. All right,
okay, there's a group of Dario Argento films coming out from Stars and Anchor Bay, like Phenomenia,
That with John Travolta. He's got powers.
That's Phenomena.
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Well, sorry.
But yeah, there's a bunch of Dario Argento films.
Everyone,
like,
there's people who are Argento fans or whatever, and I'm a fan of Asia Argento myself.
I'm a fan of her breasts.
Good times.
Sorry.
Right.
All right. Rambo. The most.
Yes! I still haven't seen it! Damn it! I don't see movies. Bill, recently.
Maybe you should wait because he was on Leno promoting this and he said then. In a couple months, he wants to do the director's cut and call it John Rambo.
Nice.
So.
Well, I was going to say, I finally saw There Will Be Blood, and I finally saw Gone Baby Gone, and tonight I'm going to watch The Proposition. So I'm catching up on these movies everyone's already seen and talked about. There Will Be Blood, man, it's a good movie. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think that Daniel Day-Lewis might win the Oscar. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you might. So, yeah, Rambo full screen, widescreen, special edition, or you can pick up all four films.
Now, Bill,
it's collector set.
Do you endorse the new Rambo?
I do endorse it, just for the fun, violent stuff that it is.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
I want to see it. Now, Sylvester Stallone, he did Rocky Balboa, and then he did Rambo,
yes.
And he did apparently what George Lucas and Steven Spielberg couldn't do with Indy, right?
Yeah.
It's a shame.
And next is Marion Cobretti.
Yes, I can't wait. Marion Cobretti in his 60s. Awesome. Ching, ching.
Gang back.
Ching, ching. Ching, ching. It's got that guy with the weird alien bounty hunter from X-Files.
Yeah. It'll bring back, what's her name?
Yeah, Bridget I'm sure Nielsen. They've divorced. You know, they do that thing in the sequel where he kind of mentions and you see the divorce papers in the background or something.
Or she got killed.
Yeah, he visits her.
Yeah, he should really just kill her off.
Yeah, you're right.
It'd be much better for everyone if she was dead.
And he should cast Flava Flav as some psycho serial killer.
There'll be a picture of Flavor Flav in her in the background.
Flavor Flav.
I refuse to call him Flavor Flav. It's Flavor.
Mine.
All right.
I love that guy.
Dude, I don't have no clue.
If you love some Van Damme, pick up this, the Van Damme Action Pack Quadruple.
Yes!
I love me some Van
Damme. Lionheart!
Oh, sorry.
Time Whip that up. Hard Target, Street Fighter, and The Quest. All
Where
in.
The hell's Lionheart, damn it? That's his best movie.
Bloodsport is his best.
Don't you remember that part at the end of Lionheart where the black guy goes, Lionheart!
Which one was it where he fought the crazy guy with the glass on his... they had to dip their hands in the glass?
I think
one was that?
I can't remember.
I was trying to... Which one was one where he was the twins?
Yeah, Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Is that what it was?
Oh,
there's
yeah,
two of them.
There's two of them.
First, there was the collapse of civilization.
What's this? Oh, Cyborg.
Was it Kickboxer?
Genocide, starvation.
Yes.
Then when it seemed things couldn't get any worse.
The Quest was the one he directed himself, remember?
The living death.
It was horrible.
I don't think I saw it.
My favorite was Death Warrant, where he was in the prison.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
It was like Stallone's lockup.
Yeah, it's the same prison. You guys mind if we use this prison now that you're done?
Why?
An evil Donald Sutherland.
Can we borrow your script and change some names?
I like this world!
Awesome.
Double Impact. That was the Wagner brothers.
That was like forever. It was just something you always said, there's two of them! Awesome. And you know what? That was really incredible. He plays kind of like the tough, hard-as-nails guy and the brother, the kind of like naive guy. He was excellent. He should have been nominated for that.
Should have got an Oscar. Nod.
What about Nowhere to Run, where he was in with the young Culkin kid? And
Nowhere to Run. Lots of action.
Rosanna Arquette's breasts.
I saw Nowhere to Run in the theater.
No, well, I saw Universal Soldier in the theater, and no one was there.
you know what? Universal Soldier, Roland Emmerich's best film. I'm going to say that right now. Because Dolph Lundgren kicks ass in it. Awesome.
I forgot all about Roland Emmerich directing that.
Oh, God. I just feel so diva-ish right now.
So do I. What's that, Steve?
Says Dolph back rearranging flowers now.
Rearranging flowers.
Wasn't he a florist?
Yeah. No, he directs his own film, Steven.
Wow.
Okay.
I would have to say that Roland Emmerich best
Steven, you just smile at me.
Was Stargate.
We covered his DVD releases. Remember what's that movie called? Dolph Lundgren wrote and directed?
I can't remember.
Straight to DVD? I forget.
Yeah,
what it's
but in between is what I'm saying. He goes back and just does his flower arranging.
I totally
Lord Steven.
Steven, could you do me a favor and do a Snakes on a Plane impression?
Oh, please! Oh, sing it is. Motherfucking snake!
Good times.
All right, and that's DVDs for Tuesday, May 27th, 2008.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you.
Thank you.
I'm about to be hanging tough from the rafters by my neck.
All right, everybody, that was episode 125 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Wow, we've done a lot of these shows. If you'd like to talk about the shows with us, tell us why you listen. I'd like to know why you listen. You know what? I'm going to ask for specific feedback because, you know, just like, just give us people. I just
what,
know.
Is this like Assignment America, America's Funniest Home Videos?
I want to know what people's favorite parts of the show are. How do you just love the news and DVDs? Do you love when Andy calls in? Do you miss Eugene? Do you love when Steven does his Samuel Jackson impression?
I'm sick of these.
Wow. But, I mean, yeah, do you love when we talk Lost, or do you hate our opinions on Lost? I want to hear stuff like that. We don't get anything like that.
Do you just hate us?
When you guys talk about Battlestar Galactica, it pisses me off, because you guys are always dissing the show, just like you do Heroes. Heroes is a great show. You know, just stuff like that. Go ahead.
That's how they save Battlestar Galactica. Hire Tim Kring.
NimPodcast@gmail.com. Give us some feedback, everybody. I really want it. And we're going to start reading it on the air, and we love you. And we just... You know, we want some of that. We want some kind of feedback like that. It's like carry on the conversation after the show. You know what I what I mean, Stephen? Like your post.
What we do our after the show stuff?
Well, it's like your post in the forum, Stephen. You bring up a lot of interesting subjects and great conversations you have with people. Yeah. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. If you'd like to visit our site, NowhereMulberry.com. You can find links to Mulberry Old School. That has episode 1 through 107 right now. And then our regular feed has 108 through 120, what this will be, 125. So it's a lot of shows for you to listen to, and there's a lot of great nuggets of things in there. What do you
say,
Steve?
Already we've had a request from Glenn, Cult News. He wants Cult News, so next week I'll bring back Cult News.
Nice. See, there you go, Glenn. You ask and ye shall receive. Right, Steven?
Yes.
And if anyone has the answer to this question, we'd love it.
How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned?
Yeah. Bill, should we have a poll on what movie we should do a commentary first, or should we just do a first commentary?
You know what? I think people should put out or suggest movies no matter what.
No, we actually have suggestions, but
we have our own list.
We have enough on the list right now, yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a certain movie that you want us to talk about.
Hey, Bill, what was that sound just then? That little...
That was me dropping a cable adapter. Whoop, just dropped it again. Sorry. It's me fidgeting like an idiot.
Oh, okay. I pictured it in my head it was like a ball bearing or something.
it makes that sound. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No problem. I was curious.
Shrinkage.
Huh? I had shrinkage just then. Okay, yeah. And next week we will return and we will talk about the Lost finale, which will be awesome. It would be awesome if we could see Battlestar Galactica's finale before it airs, but that's not going to happen. So,
are they still doing the noon previews, or did they stop that?
They turned it into noon 20-minute previews.
Oh.
A-holes. Bastard. Yeah.
That's really stupid.
But after next week's episode, which will be 126, we're going to take a break, Steven. If that's all right with you. And yes. Just to refresh and recharge. That didn't sound gay at all.
Maybe Steven will, if he comes back into town, maybe he can join us on Xbox Live or something.
Yes, he could.
Yeah, and people, you know, come on, let's barbecues galore. Next week, Bill drops something else on his desk.
What is
yeah,
that?
That's me. Sorry, I fidget a lot.
I would like a sperm donation.
People... Whoa!
Are you going to drop a sperm donation?
Whoa, Steven! What is that? Steven's always got to say, come on, Steven, innuendo! Come on!
We need to get people signed up to play some Xbox
Steven,
Live stuff.
Steven, suck the sausage. Remember that last week?
Your two minds are in the gutter.
Who was that?
Hey, Bill did it first this week.
No, I didn't.
Was it Swiley in the forum said, good old Steven and his innuendo?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
We always know what's on Steven's mind.
Steven, boo.
The dirty boy.
booty.
Wow. All right, everybody. That's the episode. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Got nothing.
It's a wrap.
Yes, it is. Bye, Bill.
Bye.
Bye, NimChat.com. Thanks for listening. If you'd like
you're
to listen to the show live,
then there too.
All right, NimChat.com.
GPQs galore, Glenn, H from 88, M Daddy O, and Racer Max.
Diva-ish right now.
Now this is podcasting.
While Matt tries to control his shrinkage.
Hey, chemo slobbies, it's me, the J-Strobe. Hey, the show just ended, but I'm here for a special announcement. Remember a couple of weeks ago, or was it a month ago, I did the same thing to announce we are going to be on a new feed? Well, this time, I'm going to tell you that our live show this Friday will be postponed until the following Saturday. So if you're used to listening to the show live on Fridays at 10, 9 Central, it will be this Saturday, which will be the date of... May 31st, 2008. Saturday at 8, 7 Central, only at nimchat.com, N-I-M-C-H-A-T. So if you'd like to listen to that show live, we'll be talking about the season finale of Lost. We'll be talking about Battlestar Galactica and Top Chef, not to mention Hell's Kitchen and... I got nothing. Yeah, but anyway, I was trying to do the movie phone guy, so forgive me for that. That's some dated humor there. But, you know, nothing can top Steven's dated snakes on a plane reference. But anyway, more power to him. So we'll see you this Saturday at 8, 7 Central at nimchat.com to listen to Nowhere in Mulberry live. Why, you say? Well, because certain plans came up on Friday, and Bill and I talked about it, and since we're going to take a break after this episode, it's kind of a season finale in a way, we didn't want to just abruptly not do it or wait another week, so we're doing it this Saturday live at nimchat.com at 8, 7 Central. We'll be talking Lost and... Battlestar Galactica, not to mention Hell's Kitchen and Top Chef. Yeah, okay, I'm shutting up now. I'm getting stares. I probably shouldn't do this in public places. Okay, well, talk to you later, guys. Have a good one.